Paul says, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. I just read the ESV translation, which is fine and good so far as it goes. A more literal rendering would go like this, and I think this is important because it brings out another element. It says, let the husband give what is owed to his wife, and likewise, let the wife give what is owed to her husband. So what I don't want you to miss here is that Paul is using the language of duty and of obligation. Nobody uses this text at weddings. We all like the Ephesians 5. The duty and obligation part is not what people typically want to talk about on the wedding day, but this actually becomes very important for the marriage, doesn't it? So he's using the language of duty and obligation, and in doing so, he's saying that sex within marriage isn't an optional thing. It is something that you are obliged to do within marriage. It is what the one flesh union is all about. And so Paul invokes this term when he says what is owed. He's invoking a term that's used elsewhere to refer to financial debt. But he's now applying it to what husbands and wives owe one another in the bedroom. Each spouse has a debt to pay, as it were, and each spouse is expecting to render what they owe. And so that raises two very practical questions. They're the two questions that anybody would have when somebody says, you owe me something. Two questions that you have is, what do I owe you and how much? So what are the answers to those questions? At the very least, I think we know what the answer to the what do I owe you question is here. At the very least, a husband owes sexual intimacy to his wife, and a wife owes the same to her husband. That's clearly what Paul is saying here. That much about the physical duty is clear. But I want to ask a question and get you to think about this with me for a second. Is it possible that there is more that is owed here? I want to suggest that there is. I want to suggest that it's not merely the physical act that you owe your spouse. It's also all the emotional and relational intimacy that makes the act delightful that you owe to your spouse. Several years ago, there was this kind of funny meme that was going around the internet. It was this picture. It went viral, and it was this photo, and it was some kind of a control box. Anybody see this? It was like a control box, like a control panel. You don't know what it controlled, but the bottom half of the box was labeled the woman, and it had about 40 different knobs and switches with an assortment of flashing lights that correspond to the knobs and switches. None of them are labeled. They're just sort of haphazardly covering the bottom half of this control box. And just looking at the picture, it looks like you have to have a degree in rocket science to figure out how to get this thing to work. And there's this real question about how even to get the thing turned on. But the portion of the control box labeled the woman, it just is really complicated. And the top half of the box was labeled the man. And on the top half of the box, there was this one lonely switch. And it just said on and off. And it was labeled very clearly. The switch is up, light comes on, it's on, flip switch is down, the light goes off, the man is off. Operating the man was really not complicated. And so I'm using this analogy here for a reason, okay? Let me get really practical here. And husbands, I want to address you very specifically because there are certain things that I think it's important for us to think about, especially in a complementarian environment. I want to address you specifically for a couple reasons. I don't think there's really any mystery about how to operate the top half of the box. Perhaps we need less exhortation about that than we do the other. And the second reason I want to address you is I know for a fact that many of you are looking at the bottom half of the box. Things are dysfunctional, relationally, emotionally, and otherwise. And you're looking at the bottom half of the box with a blank look on your face, wondering how you're going to get the light turned on. And some men, unfortunately, instead of trying to figure out how it works, you do like you do with your electronics. You pick it up, you push all the buttons indiscriminately, and it doesn't work. You start shaking it and banging on it, and that's not going to fix things, okay? You're not working on things according to how they're designed, okay? So here's the deal, husbands. You need to figure out how to work the machine according to its design. You don't just start shaking it all over tarnation until it accidentally starts working again. Let me put a fine point on this. Husbands, you are not rendering what you owe to your wife if you're depriving her of all the emotional and relational intimacy that she requires for the act to be special and meaningful to her. That's what I'm trying to say. This is going to require communication on your part. It's going to require figuring out how your wife communicates and receives affirmation and love. You're going to have to learn that she's not the female version of you. You may have to read some books, learn about the five love languages. I don't know, take a marriage seminar. However you do this, you need to understand that you need to make a study of your spouse and learn how to serve her in every way. In a way that serves every aspect of your comprehensive union. You need to render what is owed to your wife, husbands. Wives, you need to render what is owed to your husbands. And both of you need to figure out how to render this duty so that it's not a chore, but a joy. Now, we live in a fallen world, and none of us is perfect. And it's not always going to be everything you want it to be. But you need to keep working at it and never give up. And that means attending regularly, not only to your physical needs, but also to the emotional and relational needs of your spouse.